Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 198, and boy, Tom, is it great.
Oh, mm-hmm. Isn't it just, we're getting quite, what do I say, long in the teeth?
Yes, I'm starting to talk like this. Yeah.
I'll start calling you Elaine.
And I'll start calling you Thomas. I don't know. What's an old... Mm. No, I'm pretty sure an older man whose name is Tom does not revert back to Thomas. It would be Tom.
No, see, I'm hoping not Tom. Mm. I'm hoping when I was young, people called me Tommy. Then when I was in business, people called me Tom. But I'm hoping when I'm old, I get to go back to being Cheeky Larrick and Tommy.
I can imagine you a bit cheeky, like always doing the practical jokes and going, ha, 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 look at my thumb, look at my thumb.
It was what was in my head. You knew that I was doing the thumb trick in my head.
Yep.
Yep.
Speaking of brilliant, I've got a quiz that is a lot of fun and also informative, very informative. I learned a lot and you will learn a lot as well. And I think it will make things a little easier for not only you, but anybody listening in the coming weeks.
Oh, fantastic. I like learning stuff that's going to help me out.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
I've got a fun fact that's not going to help you out with anything, but it ties into something I've been watching.
Okay, great. But is it also going to make me go, ah? Because they usually do. It's usually a, ah.
There's a little bit of that, but there's a bit of, oh.
Okay, slightly different one. Okay.
Yeah, a bit of a different tone.
All Oz are not created equal.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by accidentally eating the skin of a kiwi fruit. The furry part should never enter your mouth because it feels gross and dampens the enjoyment of the wonderful greeny flavour. Do yourself a favour and check before you shove a piece in your gob. Tyler and Skylar have been warned by the police not to moon passing vehicles who are on their way to the Blue Moon Festival this weekend. Last year's event was marred by their pale bottoms being on show for all trying to enter the car park in a peaceful and butt-free manner. They claim they have no intention of repeating their backside performance, but both winked in a cheeky non-complying way after promising they would stay home that day. An Elvis Presley jumpsuit has been uncovered in Alice Winterland's attic, and she has no idea how it got there or how long it's been in her house. Since its discovery, it's been shipped off to Graceland, where it will be given the green tick of authentificationing. Now Alice is deciding whether to keep it, sell it, donate it to either Graceland or the Watchersville Museum of Elvis jumpsuits that are randomly found in people's homes. Good luck, Alice. If it was us, we know what we would do with it. Put it on and go straight to Parks, New South Wales. Oh, that's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Well, first off, it's sort of news, but not really. It's more like a shout out. Because last year we did like proper discuss it. And then she's gone and done it again for the second time in a row. Maya Rudolph has won an Emmy for her voiceover as Connie in Big Mouth, the animated series.
Nice work.
Yeah, outstanding character voiceover performance. So she won that last year as well.
I saw a few of the Creative Arts Emmys announcements that I was pretty into as well. WandaVision picked up a couple. Bo Burnham Inside, he got best directing and best writing.
Good on him.
And something else,
that's
maybe
awesome.
Music or so for a variety special.
He should for
obviously
music.
I know. Obviously, the big Emmys will happen Monday, and we'll talk more about that next week. But it's pretty cool that with less noise and stuff during COVID and this sort of stuff, that we can, you know, these are being celebrated a bit more.
I also think I saw that Mandalorian picked up a few as well.
So Disney were like the second most successful. Netflix were on top. Because they, you know, they've been running for a while now. Mm. They know what they're doing. But yeah, Disney came through with quite a few for Mandalorian, for WandaVision, and you know they're going to have plenty more in consideration for the next round. So I expect there's going to be a lot of butting heads.
Isn't
HBO
it funny?
Max is trying to get in there.
Yeah, like you're talking about that. I'm sure Amazon are nominated for a few things. You think maybe 5 years ago this was not a thing. It's crazy.
Netflix fought to get involved with the Oscars and this sort of stuff, and everyone thought they were crazy. But you look now, Emmy-wise, they're dominating it. And I'm sure 10 years from now, the Oscars will be the exact same.
Agreed. 100% agreed. So what have you found in the news this week?
Well, look, speaking about Netflix, one thing that is very up my alley and could be a good laugh, but could also be quite terrible. The WWE, they're teaming with Netflix to do a Bandersnatch-style interactive haunted house movie for Halloween this year. Okay, let me put that. Yep.
So yep, I think I've got it.
Interactive haunted house movie.
Yes. Starring.
Yes. Starring The Undertaker.
Whew.
He's retired from in-ring action, but the character still looms large. You will be playing as the New Day, who are this tag team that are they come out with trumpets and they're happy and they wear day glow and it's all super bright and they are the funniest of the real silly cartoony comedy peak. So you're going to play as them, and they get chucked into the Undertaker's haunted house of horrors.
Wow. Okay.
And you've got to help them get out or be like brutally beaten up or killed.
This is fun. And it's so funny that you said Bandersnatch, because I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago and they were like, oh, do you remember when they tried Bandersnatch? And it was fine, but nothing ever really ended up coming out of it in that they didn't continue doing the stuff. But they have been. This is awesome.
They're still doing that. So there's been more of the Bear Grylls interactive one as well, which
that's right.
I've plowed through plenty of them, and they're plenty fine, entertaining and this sort of stuff. But a haunted house one, and I'm really hoping this goes well because there's another wrestler named Bray Wyatt, and he has done some insane movie-style matches where it's not filmed in front of an audience. It's, you know, in a derelict junkyard, and they just destroy each other, and there's special effects added. And, you know, there was another match that was a loser loses an eye.
Oh, geez.
Match.
Okay.
And it was... You know, there was some CGI done at the end to do this sort of stuff. So, you know, it's awesome starting with Undertaker and you know, there's been Scooby-Doo cartoons of Scooby-Doo and the Undertaker and this sort of stuff.
So does Shaggy ever come in there?
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah. It's like it's the WWE hanging out with the gang. It's so weird. So I can very much see the tone they're going to go for this is going to be very, very silly, but at the same time, there will be some genuine jump scares in there and stuff. And who knows, like, I would happily do plenty of this sort of stuff. Make more of this interactive gear.
Because when I think of WWE, I think of, you know, the special main event. You got to pay extra to go, you know, to watch that thing on cable.
Yeah, the pay-per-view.
This is like part of your Netflix. This is amazing.
Yes, and the bit that's so mind-blowing is that the WWE aren't on Netflix. They're part of Peacock.
How did this happen? How did they get this?
I honestly don't know. I think it's because they're using this platform of interactivity.
Mm. It's a clause because Peacock doesn't have that, so they're not.
No, yeah. But you know, you can stream everything WWE on there. They had WWE Network, their own subscription-based service for quite a few years, and that's now been folded into Peacock. So it's crazy that it's existing outside there. But you know, there's so much more that could be done with this format. And, I think everyone, at least my age, can remember back to, what's the name of the game that there was that game that came to VHS, the horror game and,
Nightmare or.
Yes. I was too young and too scared to ever play it, but those ads are burned in my brain.
Yeah. Steph had it. Steph had it. She got it as a present. We played it once. Like, I feel like she got it way after it was popular, you know? So we were scared too. We thought, oh, let's give it a try. Yeah, and the guy was all dressed up. He kind of looked like the Emperor in Star Wars, is my memory. Sort of like that. He had like the cloak and stuff. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so if it's anything like that, it's going to scratch a real nostalgia.
Yeah. Oh, Netflix must be just doing cartwheels. This is a big win. This is a massive, cheeky, a clause in the contract win. This is amazing.
Searching for felines near Melmac? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, first of all, I had no idea that there was going to be an animated series of Tomb Raider on Netflix, but there is. Also, I saw that they have cast Hayley Atwell, who is Agent Carter. I mean, we saw her in What If recently. Well, I should say we heard her in What If very recently. She's going to be the voice of Lara. And the series is going to
take... That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome, right? So the series the series is going to take place just after the events of the trilogy of the latest gaming, the latest Tomb Raider games.
The ones you love.
That's right. Absolutely. Oh. So I might have to go back and play the third one again just to get an idea of it. Damn, I might just have to. What a shame.
And then because it's Netflix, they're going to drop the whole series at once, right?
I assume so.
Well, that's one evening sorted for you.
Yeah, I'm going to get through this pretty quickly. The series is being written by the same writer, I should say, as The Witcher Blood Origin. That's on Netflix as well as Red Sonja. So people are going to watch. People are going to watch this. 100%. It's not just going to be me. People are going to watch it, especially knowing that Hayley's there. I think you're going to get a fair few Marvel people jumping over and catching up on what's going on in the world of Tomb Raider.
Yeah, and look, they're going through and mining all sorts of old properties and resurrecting them with a new spin on Netflix at the moment. You know, there's a Castlevania's had a few series. There's
very popular
He-Man, different iterations and this sort of stuff. Keep it coming, I reckon.
Well, even the Jurassic Park animated series you get into. I mean, I know Jurassic Park's still around, but that's sort of crossing. That's grabbing a few different generations, isn't it? And having them
very
all watch
much
together.
So. And the toys that are out in Target, Kmart, all that sort of stuff, they're about Camp Cretaceous at the moment. They're not about Jurassic World because they're it's that point in the cycle.
Yeah, of course. Wow, cool.
So there was tons of PlayStation news the other day, but which was very exciting. You and I have already spoken a bit about it, but the two titles that got me most amped, obviously I've been playing a lot of Spider-Man on PS5, the remastered version. Well, they've announced the sequel to that, the official proper sequel. That's going to be coming in 2023.
That's not far off. That means they've been working on it for a while.
And the trailer looked great. So the first, the Spider-Man proper was Peter Parker. Then there was Miles Morales one. This one looks like maybe there's co-op or potentially one of them is AI controlled because they're fighting on screen together.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, it could almost be like GTA 5 where you kind of – You get taken away from one character and thrown back into the other one and they keep swapping you. That'd be cool.
I really hope it's that because PS5 has the power to do that easy. They announced that there's a remastered, I think it's like the 8th remaster or whatever of GTA 5 is coming.
I saw
people weren't rapt with hearing about that. But that one of the big features is that it'll be completely seamless jumping between characters no matter where they are on the map.
That's amazing.
Which is pretty crazy.
Very impressive.
The trailer shows Venom at the very end, and he's being voiced by Tony Todd, who is an amazing choice. He was the voice – he played Candyman.
Yes, yes, I know.
He has this fantastic guttural growl and has played – I'm stoked for that. But the voiceover – doesn't sound like it's Venom. It sounds like it might be Kraven, who Sony have announced that there's a film of that coming, and they cast Aaron Taylor Johnson, Aaron Johnson Taylor, I should say, who was Quicksilver in Age of Ultron.
Yep.
He was Kick-Ass. So he will be playing Kraven in the film. Kraven is a Russian regal type guy who is obsessed with hunting big game, and he's killed all the big animals of Africa, so he chooses to hunt the most dangerous game, Spider-Man. Mm.
Of course, perfect.
There've been some amazing storylines. Some of the heaviest Spider-Man storylines have involved him, but there's also been some of the most ridiculous ones. So I can see he's going to be a great inclusion for the video game, tying into the movie potentially. I don't know. We don't know about the timing of the movie, but still, that was pretty cool. There was a lot of good video game news.
I actually watched the showcase a couple of times, but I was watching reactions, like people who had streamed them live, and I was interested to see the reactions for a few different people. One person works for PlayStation, but they work for I can't think of what they're called, but the team that make God of War. So they work there.
Sure.
And they knew about the Spider-Man 2. They knew that was coming out, but they had no idea about the Wolverine. And remember they play Wolverine first?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, what? No.
I didn't even mention that yet. Yeah, I'm so excited for the Wolverine game. So these are the guys that have made the infamous games, and I don't know if you ever played them, but they were some really high bar for superhero development games. And sure, you could play as someone who could zip around in the air and stuff like this, but they also were really good at brawler characters.
Mm.
So they nailed swinging around the city as Spider-Man. I have very high hopes for playing as a short, angry Canadian.
We've got to assume that this is going to be a bit grittier than Spider-Man, right? Just judging by the trailer, there was a lot of blood and gross stuff all over his arm.
Yeah.
And
I'm hoping I don't want to get into the talk of it, but maybe it'll be get banned in Australia. It won't, but they love when they can say that.
And then it
that.
Won't. Yeah. 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 Because that's when you know it's really gritty. Yes, I like the look of that. I like the look of the Spider-Man one. The God of War Ragnarok looked really cool. Ryan Hurst is playing Thor.
Pretty cool.
That's a great addition. There were a few different games that looked really interesting. There were a few that looked like they were from Japan, and they were all kind of weird monsters coming in, almost nightmarish looking. Yeah, it was good to see such a strong showcase. It means that then you can get like excited.
Yeah, there was a game I didn't even make a note of what it was called, but it's set in New Caledonia, and it's kind of like Moana, where this girl, you can spirit take over animals and explore. It looked really fun.
Looked like she might have to save the island too.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, you be the hero.
I have one other piece of video game news. It wasn't from the show, but it was. I'm not a FIFA player. I don't play much soccer. The new FIFA is coming out soon. It comes out every year. It's like Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly.
It comes out each year. But they finally found a way to get me interested.
Superheroes?
No. They have announced that so normally it only goes down to, okay, and I'm going to mess up this terminology, but bear with me, I'm trying my best. Normally it goes down to the second league, which is actually fourth division, or the second division, which is actually fourth league, something like that. Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney own a Welsh soccer team that is in the fifth division or fifth league called Wrexham. They've announced that they've put Wrexham AFC into the game.
This is fun.
And you can play as part of Rest of World, which is the teams that don't fit within the leagues that are represented in the game. So I don't know if that means that they're going to will Ryan Reynolds be on the sideline when you play? Will you finish your match and you run off and Ryan Reynolds is there to give everyone
high fives? Yeah, you get a
high five
from him. Oh, I hope so, right? Otherwise, why put it in?
I might play video game soccer now.
It's happened.
I won't. But I appreciate that on several levels. That's good corporate synergy there.
That's a lot of
well
fun.
Done, advertising king Ryan Reynolds.
He got you for sure.
Oh, and he said, you know, it's great because it's bringing a lot of exposure to the team, and they've kindly donated a entertainment lounge for the stadium.
Mm.
So there's probably a decked out place to go and play this on a bunch of PlayStations or something.
I would start playing video game soccer if I was invited to that. That sounds really, really fun. Did you see that this is according to Hollywood Reporter, but HBO Max have declined to comment. Apparently HBO Max is in an very early development of a series about the everyone's famous Batman bad guy, the Penguin. Now, it's going to be set I don't know if it's set after, but it's definitely a spin-off of the latest film, The Batman, which is coming out next year sometime. Maybe. We'll see. So, well, who knows? Matt Reeves and Dylan Clark, who directed the film, will be producing the series. They're in talks for Colin Farrell to star in the series, but no deal is in place yet. So it's pretty early, and I'd be very surprised if everybody else seems to be attached from the movie to the series if he doesn't get involved. But why are they not?
Well, I'm sure if he's not involved, then the storyline can just be moved a bit earlier in the years and have a younger actor.
Yeah.
Potentially it's that. We've only seen a quick brief snippet of him in a trailer and he's under a ton of prosthetic that makes him look like Richard Kind.
Which is weird, right? Like
it's so weird. Why not just get Richard Kind?
I can't even see his eyes. Like, his eyes don't even look like Colin Farrell. It's weird. It's so strange.
Very weird.
I don't know what they were doing or why. So, you know,
Danny DeVito, hold my beer.
One of the makeup artists must have been very convincing in their pitch.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of strange choice. Look, I think this is cool. Bring it on, more HBO Max series. I'm quite excited. There was a photo that came out this morning for Peacemaker, the Suicide Squad spinoff, and doesn't reveal much at all other than I'm ready to go. Let's do it. More. Looks like this is dealing with some corporate bureaucratic bullshit.
All right. And that ain't no one got time for that.
No.
What else have you got?
So it's not really a watching thing, but just as a heads up, that's kind of cool. So Marvel, for a long time, have had a thing called Marvel Unlimited, which is kind of like their app where you can read their comics, blah, blah, blah. I personally have used Comixology mostly because it's all of them. So it's DC, Image. They're all on one thing. Marvel Unlimited, very clever. They've gotten me to sign up because it's subscription-based service, and previously it's been, 30 to 40,000 comics from their backlog, and they add new stuff from between 3 to 6 months, after it's come off shelves. They've launched now. In the past they've done things called Infinite Comics, which were kind of interactive digital ones.
Mm-hmm.
But they've changed that label now, so Infinite Comics are now ones that exist and are only for digital. So they have launched this week a whole bunch of services. They've launched this week a whole bunch of new titles and comics on the service that you can only get through Marvel Unlimited.
Exclusive. Yeah, right. That makes sense.
Yes. So it's been a long time coming that moves they've been trying out stuff in the digital space for many years. I imagine that Corona and all the shutdown last year, there was, 2 whole months where the comic industry ground to halt, nothing was being published. That would have exacerbated things. And so this move to digital makes a lot of sense. They've launched with a couple of big names. So there's a Shang-Chi comic that ties with the film. There's a Black Widow and Hawkeye comic. There's an X-Men one that's exclusive, and it's written by the guy who's the big brain behind X-Men at the moment, and that's very cool. But the one I was most excited to see was a very kiddie-friendly comic called It's Jeff.
Who's Jeff?
J-E-F-F. So Jeff is Deadpool, Deadpool's pet baby land shark.
Of course, I don't know why I asked. It makes sense.
I know. So, yeah, imagine a shark, a great white shark, baby-sized, mixed with a cute dog now, or pig.
Can I ask, because I don't – I'm trying to remember the movies. The first one is a bit hazy. Okay, good, because I'm like – and the second one, I definitely don't remember seeing a baby shark.
Jeff is a very new creation, like maybe 2018 or even 19, something like that. Okay. And it actually popped up first in Gwenpool. Now, Gwenpool was a spin-off from Deadpool of a girl named Gwenpool from our reality who somehow gets sucked into the Marvel Universe and uses her knowledge of everything there to stay alive. It drives her insane very quickly, and she becomes like Deadpool and constantly talks to the reader. And her power ends up being that she can climb out and walk in the borders, in the white space in between the world, so she can pull things together that she wants. And she wants a baby land shark. So she now has this thing, Jeff. When her book got cancelled, in a very meta moment, she had a crossover with Deadpool and said, "You need to take Jeff because I don't know where I go now. Okay. I'm going to be stuck in the white void. People deserve Jeff." It was very bleak, funny. But yeah. So now Jeff's back, and it's great, and Jeff is awesome. And then it's an ongoing series, and it is enough. You know, there's a new issue each week.
Oh, gee, that's a lot.
Yes, it's not even a monthly thing. So they're shorter. I think they're 11 pages each or something like that. So you're getting what would be getting one to two comics worth per month of what would be, you know. It's pretty cool. It was a couple of bucks.
Yeah, you worth can sign checking up out.
For a year or for a month or a week or this sort of stuff. So, yeah, I did the 1 month, and when that runs out, I'm happy on and jump and do the year.
I feel like whoever's reading Jeff, like you, should be prepared for a Gwenpool cameo, right? She's got to appear.
Yeah. And she's still floating around.
Okay.
So there was a team of West Coast Young Avengers or something like that, and she was in that for a while, and Jeff was there. And, yeah, she's good.
She's not in between forever. She pops
no,
in and
she
out.
Got pulled out at one point and was dating one of the young X-Men.
Okay, wow. Oh, she enjoys the company of many people.
Yeah.
That's how I say that.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
One last story from me is that Netflix is making a Luther film. So Idris Elba's there, but also Andy Serkis is going to be in it as well. Don't know what his role is at all.
Lamp. He's going to be a lamp.
So Netflix are producing it with the BBC, which is where it originated from, and it's a continuation from the series. So don't just jump into the Luther film once it's made and expect to know what's going on. Start from the beginning and make your way through. The series are very short. I want to say like 4 to 6 episodes each series. So you don't have a lot to get through to get to Luther. But it's crazy that a character like Luther and an actor like Idris Elba, who is massive, like he was the star of Suicide Squad, right? Like massive.
Mm-hmm.
He's still doing Luther stuff. It's brilliant.
Well, you got to pay respect where you came from. And I don't mean that he was on The Wire. He was amazing there. But Luther is where he got to dominate and have his own show and show off what he can do. And I think he gets to do what he wants the rest of the time. If that's going DJ in Ibiza for a month or
is his thing,
be in Suicide Squad or that sort of stuff. And then in every couple of years, he goes back and does a bit more Luther. And
the bloke lives his best life.
I'm sure everyone in Britain's like, oh, I'm glad Idris has come back.
That's a good point.
He ticks the box and then he's allowed to go and play in California for another year or two.
Sort of like Nicole Kidman, how she comes back and brings whole productions with her to Australia and then's like, okay, I'm going to go do a Hollywood film now. We're all like, yeah, you're done, good kid.
Good on you. Good on you, Nick. You can be Nick. When she's in trouble, it's Nicole.
Yeah, she's in big trouble. Do you have anything else or?
I got two trailers.
Okay, I wonder if one of them is a massive one that everyone's talking about. If not, we're going to talk about it as well.
All right. The first trailer, I saw it a couple of days ago, so it's already gone a little bit from my mind, but I'm very excited for it, is Don't Look Up. We've talked about this film a while ago, but this is the new one from Adam McKay, who did Vice and The Big Short. He also directed Step Brothers and Anchorman and all those silly ones. But in the last couple of years, he's been very focused on political social change films. Very, very funny. It's Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
They play a pair of, astrologists. Astrologists are the ones who look at the stars, astronomers.
Looking at the stars, not reading the stars.
That's it. They discover that there's a comet about to hit Earth or something like that.
Yeah, cool. It's interesting.
But it's about to happen. And Meryl Streep is the president.
So do they only cast people who have Academy Awards in this film?
Yeah, Jonah Hill plays her son. He's also like the Secretary of Defense or something like that. And they're non-believers in science.
Oh, this sounds really good on so many levels.
I'm not going to go. If this interests you at all, go and look at the trailer because I don't want to give away the amazing, like the staggering list of cameos that this is going to have.
All right.
I promise you that is Jennifer Lawrence. She has a nose ring in her, a terrible haircut, hardly looks like herself. This was her stepping back out of retirement. She retired for a year and a half or something like that, take a break. And he went to her and said, I've written this for you.
Ooh. And she went, all right, hang on, let me hilariously and lovably fall up these stairs and then I'll give you my answer.
And then I think Leo probably texted like while they were in the meeting of like, just do the film. Yeah. I'm sure it was something like that. So that is coming to select theaters December 10th.
Okay.
But also more excitingly,
mm-hmm.
Netflix, December 24th.
Christmas.
Weeks later, dropping as a Christmas Eve gift.
What are we getting?
We're
getting that.
We're getting that.
Far out.
We don't, it's at the movies. And it's
wow.
I knew it was going to be about this time because Vice, they did the same thing. Big Short, they did the same thing. They dropped in December so that it was picking up steam for award season. So this is the same thing Netflix will do here to get it in contention because it looks like it's going to be real hot button.
All right, so that's my Boxing Day organized.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome. Wow, that's really cool. Well, I wanted to talk about the proper full-length Matrix trailer. I think people might be into the Matrix again.
I think so.
I think they are. So this one, you've got Neo and Trinity meeting for the first time, and she says, have we met before? And the look on his face is, oh, gosh, I don't think so. I'm going to panic think to see if we really have. And it looks like this version of Neo probably has Neo powers as well. So it's all about waking up. It also seems like a lot of people have decided, well, not a lot of people, but it seems like there have been choices to take the blue pill. If you remember in the original one, it was the red pill. We never saw what happened with the blue pill because it sounded boring, right? So the choice has been made to take the blue pill, and maybe this is an alternate version of the Matrix. Oh, I don't right. know. It's very confusing.
Multiverse.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's coming out in December as well, but I don't think it's coming straight to Netflix for Christmas.
No, I think it might be doing – is it HBO Max?
Maybe.
I don't know. I think there might be somewhere where it's dropping day and date.
Good, because I want to watch it.
Look, the other one that's coming out, and it's not coming out off on Christmas, but it's for Christmas and looking very Christmassy. Did you see the trailer for Hawkeye?
No.
Oh, so that came out this morning, very early this morning, and I watched it like twice already. So Hawkeye is no one's favorite Avenger, and this show looks very aware of that.
Right.
And really leans into it. There's a great storyline of a Hawkeye solo comic where he's just a bumbling loser, and he tries to do right and he keeps messing it up and this sort of stuff. But it's the idea that he keeps standing up. He's fighting Russian gangsters that are just wear tracksuits and say bro all the time, and it's super, super street level, and it's very aware of the fact that he's a guy with a bow and arrow. Yep. He has no powers whatsoever. I don't know if the show is going to cover this, but he's deaf and wears hearing aids, and there's a shot in the trailer that does look like he has some sort of device in there. So that would be a very cool shout out.
So where does this sit? Oh, sorry, finish. I've got questions.
Yes. So during Avengers Endgame, we saw that he'd gotten tattered up and had the mohawk, and he became Ronan. He was, you know, off murdering bad guys and this sort of stuff. So this film is set after, this series is set after that.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like someone else has taken up the Ronan costume and is murdering people, which is a thing from the comic. And I won't say where it's going, but I have my suspicions of who that other person will be, and that forces Clint to go back out and have to, you know, face up to what he did. But at the same time, he's being stalked by the ultimate fangirl. Not stalked in a scary way, but like someone desperate to become his Robin. And that's Hayley Steinfeld, who is she was in Bumblebee. She voiced Gwen in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. She's awesome. And so she's playing Kate Bishop, who is the heir to the mantle of Hawkeye. When he dies in the comics, she takes over and becomes the new Hawkeye, who is way more competent and far more enjoyable of a character.
So, okay, my question is, it was at the beginning of Endgame. Somewhere where before people got blinked in and out. Must have been at the end of click.
No, I know what you're talking. At the beginning of Endgame, he's talking with his daughter.
Yes.
That's not – I say everyone's asking the same question. It's not his daughter that becomes
okay.
But, yeah, it's a weird choice. Everyone's wondering why that – the daughter doesn't appear in the trailer. That daughter – the mum and the son briefly do. The series is set at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as in the trailer has Die Hard, cool. Home Alone,
cool.
All this sort of vibes. Christmas Carol's playing while he's, you know, ziplining haphazardly across a building. It looks like Ronan or the mobsters and people that – all the enemies that he made finally come for him. And so he bundles his family off in a van. He's like, no, it's all good. It's
road
all good. And
trip.
So that's it. And he sends them off and then, like, goes weapon up.
Yeah, cool.
And so that's why I say it's got Home Alone feel to it. And if it's based on the comic that I think it is – at one point, someone's going to insist that his name is Hawk Guy, not Hawkeye, Hawk Guy, and then that's how he becomes known from then on. He's just Hawk Guy. But I think we're going to get like a full-on Home Alone in a apartment building type setup.
I like that.
Of a grown soldier taking it back. Oh.
Look, I'm happy with Christmas themes in December. In fact, I would happily watch anything that is Christmas related in December because it gets you in the spirit.
I know, and there's so few of them that are violent.
Oh my gosh. We will be talking about things we've watched, but I have a feeling there's going to be an interruption in the programming for...
It's a very scary fun fact. So, as I said, this is going to tie into something I'm talking about later with some 90s gear. And there's a reboot TV series about this of this coming very soon. But I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that film with Jennifer Love Hewitt and Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr. Yep. And Ryan Phillippe, who broke it, the three-name thing.
Yeah, but ruined it for everyone.
I've got two fun facts.
Yeah, go on.
Okay. Johnny Galecki, he's in the movie. He's playing a character named Max. So Johnny Galecki, he recalls doing a body cast for the scene where Julie opens the trunk and finds his dead Bonnie in it with a crab crawling out of his mouth.
Right? I have no recollection of this. This is amazing.
This happens. So they've got a dummy basically doing this. He later got a call that production was shut down because Jennifer Love Hewitt was so upset by seeing the dead body that he had to call her and reassure her that he was actually alive.
That's amazing. And also, why would she think that?
The sequel are the only horror films she's ever made. And apparently they may be the only horror films she's ever seen. She's really not a fan of horror. Just before making this film, she'd done a movie, I think, with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right.
And they became very good friends. And Jamie Lee was making her next film in the lot next door.
Yeah.
And so would regularly visit her on the set of I Know to cheer her up and make her feel better.
How funny
so
is that?
So that's a cool friendship thing, but an even cooler friendship thing. So despite being part of the main cast and appearing in many key scenes together, Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr. only speak to each other twice in the entire film.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They became good friends there, and sometime later, Scooby-Doo happened, and then they got married, and they're still together. And
yeah, they're still together.
Who would have thought it started with I Know What You Did Last Summer?
What, were you a Scream or I Know What You Did Last Summer fan? Like, which one did you prefer?
I enjoyed them both, and I know that sounds like a cop-out answer, but Scream was very much a modern take on things, and I Know What You Did was very much a throwback.
Mm.
But Scream came out first, but I Know was written 2 or 3 years beforehand.
Oh, really?
And he couldn't get it made, and once Scream happened, the next day he got greenlit on I Know. So technically, I Know was first.
Yeah, right.
Even though Scream came first. And it was the guy who made Dawson's Creek.
I don't want to wait for this night to be over. Is that the right word?
Good. No. I don't want to wait for this. Oh, yeah. Something. Let's not sing that.
Yeah.
Sixpence. We'd be sixpence none the richer if we sing that.
Now it's time for some, don't even worry about it, watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What you been watching?
What have I been watching? Well, there's only one zombie show I want to talk about this week.
What is it?
It's What If? Disney Plus.
Yeah,
I've caught up. Animated Marvel series.
I caught up with it. I was a couple of days late on watching the zombie special, and I really liked it. I mean, you know when someone tells you how much they liked it and you're like, oh no, I hope that like I like it as much. I did. I thought it was awesome.
I was trying not to build it up too much, but I really enjoyed it. There was moments that were scary, there were moments that were very silly. Paul Rudd did not come to mess around.
I really enjoyed thinking about, because what I like about the zombie genre is every show, book, movie, comic, they all approach it differently in that you go into it and you're like, all right, what are the rules in this world? What are the rules in this universe? And this one had different rules in that, for one, there are superheroes, they exist. Two, they get it. They can become zombies. Three, these superhero zombies still remember how to fight.
That's the thing. You can't, some of the stuff in there you can't think about too much. Like, would Iron Man's suit still really want to behave and yeah, follow the whims of a rotting corpse and stuff? There's a few things in there, but I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. It was so much fun. I won't give away stuff at the end, but it feels like there could be very much easily a return to that universe.
Agreed.
Very, very ominous. Such a big voice cast. Very cool again.
Is that the biggest one so far?
I think it might be. Yeah. It was not Spider-Man was not Tom Holland, but that makes a lot of sense because he's technically Sony.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So as soon as you remember that, you're like, oh, okay, it would have just made it really complicated. Mm. And it's funny because the guy that voiced Captain America, Josh Keaton, who also voiced Captain Steve Rogers in the first episode, he used to voice Spider-Man in an animated series for many years, but he didn't voice Spider-Man here because they were going for the much younger version.
Yeah, fair enough. And I was going to say, and you can't be two voices, but yes, you can. You can always be two voices.
You definitely can. I think it's cool that several of these episodes are tying together with both the literal and metaphorical idea of hope. So Hope Van Dyne is the Wasp, and she was very important to this episode. Yep. But at the same time, it was trying to reunite her family that sent things wrong.
Yeah.
Likewise, Nick Fury's big week episode a few weeks ago, where the Avengers were being picked off. Hope is very important in that episode. Hope is a key theme in the T'Challa as Star-Lord episode. So I think we're building towards something that, even though these episodes seem to be getting darker and more bleak, the notion of hope is what always stays strong. Mm. So it was awesome that Spider-Man was at the core of that idea, because he's the everyman of the Marvel Universe, and he's the guy that's always chin up. And, you know, I know they gave Cap that line of, I could do this all day, but that's Spider-Man to a core, and that's why they get on so much. Yeah.
Look, for me, my two favorite episodes so far have been this one and the Doctor Strange.
That was so good, wasn't it?
That was good.
That was genuinely moving in parts of, like, because you can imagine that if you had that opportunity, if you could find that power, and
why wouldn't you?
You know, and he's still at the end. He's still not a bad guy. He's made terrible choices, but you are sympathetic for him. Yes,
yeah.
Very well done.
Yeah. For me, my opinion, the first episode was probably the weakest, because I do like these bigger ideas. These bleaker ideas of the last few episodes, they grab me more, because there's more to think about afterwards.
I agree. I think we're still going to get one real funny one. I hope so. Like, because that's the beauty of the What If comic, is that you get a couple of bleak ones or really weird ones, and then they come in with a real silly funny one out of left field. It's great.
A palate cleanser.
Yes,
we really quacked at the principle. Are we ducks or what? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What have you been watching?
Well, I started watching the latest and final season of Money Heist, that massive show, Spanish show for Netflix, or La Casa de Papel, as it's beautifully pronounced in Spanish. They're still in the mint. It's very messy. We've got certain police officers who have gone rogue. The army's there. There's people infiltrating left, right, and center. And like shows that are finishing, and they know they're finishing, you can feel the stakes are high.
Sure.
And I like
momentum.
Yeah. Each episode you're like, whoa, how are they gonna how are they going to untangle out it? How is this going to? Yeah, it's a really fun show. If you haven't started watching it, oh gosh, if you've got a lot of seasons to get through, I think this is the fifth one.
Oh, really? How many episodes a season?
I think there's probably about, if my memory serves, 8 to 10. So not a lot. It's a okay. standard sort of Netflix amount, but a massive show. I listen to it dubbed, and I also have the subtitles on. And what I find fascinating is that the person who has written the script for the dubbed, English dubbed, and the people who are writing the script for the subtitles, they're not talking to each other. Often it's, sure. It, I mean, it says the same thing, but they say it differently. Very interesting. There's been a few other shows like that I've noticed have done that. Maybe it was the Norsemen were in English, weren't they? It was some Nordic show. I can't remember now. Maybe Ragnarok? Saying's very different. Yeah, I know it's Netflix and they're released, you know, they just go, here's the season, but you've got to space this one out. It's too much.
Sure.
It's too much.
Too much?
Yeah. What else have you been watching?
So you know that I love that show Dark Side of the Ring, behind-the-scenes wrestling documentary. There was a very cool preview or whatever for the second half of the third season. They have a spin-off series called Confidential, which is a really interesting take on not an after show, so right. It's not like what Talking Dead was. So it's more like an extended director's cut weaved in with the actual episode. So
cool.
They you know, they show the episodes, whatever, and then Confidential is they come back to it 6 months later, and it's an hour and a half version rather than the 45-minute version. And between every segment, they break it out and talk about things, the experience of making the show, all very cool. The reason why I'm bringing it all up, that which is great, they also have two spin-off shows, one about basketball or NFL, I'm not too sure. It hasn't launched yet. The other one is called Dark Side of the 90s. That launched a few weeks ago, and I've bunched up a few episodes and got through a couple in the last couple of days, and they're really, really good. A few of them are set before my time in the 90s, but stuff that I'm interested in knowing more about. There's one in particular that I think you'll really enjoy.
Yeah.
The first episode is all about Jerry Springer and charts this really clear path that I hadn't quite seen of how maybe he's responsible for Trump getting into power. But it's he if not that, he is solely responsible for what reality television today is of the Real Housewives of wherever. That idea of that staged fight of people desperate reality. To have their they have their few minutes of fame and this sort of stuff. That's a pretty dark episode. You know, it does lead to the path of, you know, people got murdered over this stuff. But the other episode, and this is the one, I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know whether it finishes dark, but considering the name of the show, I'm guessing it will. It's called TV for Teens, and it's all about how late 80s, early 90s television shifted and wanted to create programming for teenagers and turned to Aaron Spelling, who created Beverly Hills 90210, and interviews with Jason Priestley and I can never pronounce it, Adrian.
Andrea Zuckerman, Gabrielle Kateris.
Yes, the one who's much older than.
Yes.
And does look much older now. So then she's being interviewed as part of this and Jason Priestley. And yeah, she does look much older, but talks about how they were going to be cancelled and there was never any, you know, the only reason they kept going was because Fox only had three other shows.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so it was the only, you know, original programming they had that wasn't Tracy Ullman, The Simpsons, or something else. I can't even remember. Maybe, you know, and this was before Home Improvement. A lot of these other Fox things came along.
Hmm.
That was what was there. And so they weren't able to replace it. And the decision was made to keep producing it and run it over the summer break.
That explains the summer season.
Which was never done up to that point.
Right.
And the show suddenly went to number 14 in the ratings, like the first week of summer.
Okay, because there was nothing else to watch. I mean, I remember growing up, you know, to get to summertime, all your shows would finish and then you'd have nothing to watch during the summer. You know, it was very slim pickings. That's interesting. And I feel like that, I don't know if that happened so was that just after the first season or was that later on?
Yeah. It was just after the first season.
So first season wasn't popular, huh?
No, it was doing quite poorly. And it was growing and growing, but then this summer break hit. And this episode seems to be charting a through line of how that decision kind of led to year-round programming, binge watching, all this sort of stuff. I don't know. I like how they take really these little kernels of something in a that happened in the early 90s and extrapolate out to what is popular today in a way that I hadn't really considered.
So is this on Vice? This is Vice, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I want to watch it. Sounds really cool. I want to watch all the 90s ones now, even the ones
grunge, there's East Coast versus West Coast.
Cool.
So there's a bunch of the stuff you'd expect, but then, yeah, there's a couple that are, you know, there's one about cults, doomsday cults in the 90s and this sort of stuff. So I don't know if I'm going to watch all of them. Some of them a little bit too bleak for me.
Yeah, okay. So it is the kind of show that you can't watch episode after episode.
No. But I can't do that with the wrestling show either.
Mm.
I wouldn't. That's one that the day an episode drops, I watch it that night.
Mm.
And some of them, it takes 2 or 3 days to wash the ick off you.
Right.
Stories. So, yeah, doing one that's broader about 90s stuff, but then, yeah, really does point the finger at some people. Mm.
Right. Well, I know what I'll be watching.
Grab some turpentine, acetone and benzene. That's all you'll need to make Dip and survive the upcoming cartoon apocalypse. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
I'm going to go retro.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like an admission as well. I watched, for the first time, Beverly Hills Cop. I'd never watched Beverly Hills Cop in full ever.
And?
It was fun. They play that theme song way too much. They like,
it does happen a lot.
Eddie, can you please do your laugh every 15 minutes. It's super fun. You know, a cop from Detroit ends up going off into Beverly Hills, going rogue cop to try and solve the murder of his old friend. Yeah. And
I don't think I've seen that movie in 20 years. Maybe even more.
Would you have watched the other two?
I'm pretty sure two is the one with Nick Nolte, right?
I think so.
Or is that Lethal Weapon? No.
No, I don't. Lethal Weapon. Maybe that's one I should revisit. I've definitely watched a Lethal Weapon once before.
Lethal Weapon I enjoy.
I also kind of want to watch Fletch now. You know those kind of, guys who go out and solve the mystery all by themselves.
Sure.
Apparently, I read a couple of little interesting facts. Apparently, Axel Foley was originally going to be played by Sylvester Stallone, but in his trailer, they had the wrong brand of orange juice. This is what the rumor says, right? Wrong brand of orange juice, and it was his tipping point, and he left. He left the whole entire production, so they had to recast it. So they recast Eddie Murphy. What a different film it would have been!
Wow. Sure.
So different. Like, that would have been a proper, almost
serious thing.
Yeah. Bizarre. Now, is that, I'm pretty sure it's Eddie Murphy's first ever starring in a motion picture role, like as the big star. Because the movies I think of later on were later on. Like, Coming to America was definitely after this.
Yes. I think you're right.
Yeah. And I love the bit where he's walking down, I assume it's Rodeo Drive, and there are two blokes who look like they're dressed as Eddie Murphy and or Michael Jackson from Thriller in that red and black leather. And he looks at them, they walk past him, and he just keels over laughing. I was like, that's nice, because even now we still get that reference. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes, like, I remember watching Wayne's World recently, and you know there's that whole bit where they're doing all the different commercials and ads, and you're like, oh, I remember these, but I also don't remember them. I just remember you doing them. So the references are lost, where this one, it's still super, like people get it straight away. Beverly Hills Cop. So should I go for the sequel, or should I go Lethal Weapon? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe we should ask that on Friday.
All right.
As part of the quiz.
Let's do
it. Put it in there as a poll or something, maybe.
That's a good idea. See what people think. What should Leah watch next? Also, just a heads up that the quiz will be a little bit late. Not much. Just a little bit. 15 minutes late because we're a little bit busy beforehand. We can't be doing two things at once. It's technically and officially not possible. So 12:45 is when we will kick off the quiz. I've found some more ridiculous mugs and paraphernalia.
Oh, good. Love a giveaway, I do.
There's a whole heap of really good things that we've trolled the internet and found. So if you want to come along, take part, you never know, you may end up winning something. Not you, Tom. Oh, you can win if you like. I don't know. Some good stuff you might want to try.
I'll do my best.
Fantastic. Good luck. Speaking of quizzes, are you ready for the one that's happening right now?
So ready. Let's do it.
All right. We've actually spoken a lot about this kind of stuff already this week, but the quiz is called Where Are These Things? So I give you the name of a film or series, and you have to tell me which streaming platform you can find these on.
All right.
Because I don't know about you, but I get stuff in my head and I'm like, oh, I wonder where I could find that. And I type in the name and I type Streaming Australia to see where I find it. All right. Game of Thrones. This is in Australia.
This is in Australia.
Oh, you know what? You can do America as well because I know that you've got your VPN. Do both. I've changed my own rules.
All right. Well, in America, I believe it's part of HBO Max because that would make sense. Here in Australia, it was originally shown on Showcase on Foxtel, Showtime on Foxtel. But where is it now? Has it moved to Binge?
That's it. You got it.
Isn't it?
Nice work. Binge. That's good. Yeah, these things move. I mean, you got to keep an eye on series. They move.
And you're testing me because you know I know where these things should move to. Okay,
that's
good.
It.
All right. Okay,
yeah, this
good,
is definitely
good.
Your
okay.
wheelhouse. Easy one now. X-Files.
That's a Fox property, which means it's now owned by Disney. So I'm going to say Disney Plus.
Yep. And I just love the fact that you can watch The X-Files, which was a very scary show in the 90s, on Disney. I just love it. I can't get enough. It's great.
I might go and watch that episode where Murray from Flight of the Conchords becomes the were-lizard.
I've seen the were-lizard one, but I didn't know it was Murray from – okay.
Yes, that's Rhys Darby.
I've got to watch it. Right, okay.
Guys.
Oh, gosh. All right, we're going older school. Labyrinth, okay. The movie with David Bowie, Jennifer Connelly, Labyrinth. Where would you find Labyrinth? If you were having a look for it, wanted to have a rewatch.
Part of me wants to say Paramount Plus, but I feel like that's just being difficult.
That's being difficult. I wouldn't do that too.
Is it on Amazon Prime?
That's exactly where I thought it was, but it's on Netflix. Because I actually looked it up in Amazon Prime. I was like, this has got to be in here. And I said, no, it's in Netflix. I'm like, what?
What?
So the problem with Netflix, right? Is that it's the algorithm is very strong in that. So you only get shown what you get shown based on, you know, but there's actually heaps of stuff in there. So you've got to really dig deep. What about Jurassic Park? I mean, one of your favorites, but I doubt you would have had to search a streaming site. I reckon you'd have that on DVD, right?
I do.
Blu-ray.
I also have it on Ultra 4K.
Ooh.
On the fancy one. I love them movies.
So this is the original, but I mean, I assume all of them are all on the same platform.
Well,
Actually, now I'm not sure.
They're universal properties. And I've seen them. It's got to be Netflix, right? Netflix. If that's where Camp Cretaceous is at, it's got to be there.
I thought that, you know, that was the exact link. That's the link I thought you were going to, you're going to snag it with. All right, one that you know very well but probably don't need to watch it now, Lost. Where would you find Lost in Australia and or the US?
Oh, okay. So it was ABC in the US. It was shown on Channel 7 here. Mm. But I imagine Channel 7 don't have the rights for it anymore. So Stan?
Oh, you are okay. You're 5 for 5 right now, aren't you? I think so. No, I don't know. Did you get Labyrinth right?
I didn't get Labyrinth right.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't get Labyrinth.
All right, all right. Well, you can get 5 now with the final one.
All right.
Seinfeld. Where is Seinfeld?
Ooh. Made a big deal of this.
Mm-hmm.
Jumps around a lot. It's got a, it does. Is it Netflix?
It's coming to Netflix in October, absolutely. Where it is at the moment. So you could have been correct on in several different places. I found it on Amazon Prime and it's also on Binge. So, but I'm wondering if come October those deals end and it jumps over to Netflix.
I think that,
Yeah.
It, The Office, there's a couple of them that jump around. Friends. They jump around every few years and they spend a lot of money. And all right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch it there either.
That was very well done. That was a good quiz. It was the kind of quiz like I said, it was informative. It was educational because now when you think, where is Labyrinth? Where did they say it was? You'll know it's Netflix.
You know it. You know it.
You just know. All right. On that note, Tom, just one more question. What time is the quiz on Facebook on Friday?
That'd be a little bit later at 12:45.
Correct.
PM Australian Eastern Standard Time.
Indubitably. And on that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Wingardium Leviosa.